is 6:09.
And it is not often one has a chance to say this, but we are now joined by two Nobel laureates. Professor Sir John Sulston, who won the prize for his work on the Human Genome Project, and Professor Joseph Stiglitz, formerly of the World Bank and the Clinton administration, who was awarded it for economics. They're both giving lectures to mark the launch of Manchester University's Institute for Science, Ethics and Innovation, and they will be talking about the impact of commercial pressures on scientists. Morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Sir John, you are concerned that science is paying a price for being dominated by commerce, as I understand it.
Yes, in the case of the Human Genome Project, I found I had to fight quite hard to keep fundamental information open. I've been thinking about this since and watching what's going on in a broader field. And I think across a whole spectrum of activities, we need to look at the way that science feeds into innovation so that the results are more equitable and more transparent than they are at the moment.
Because you think that commercial pressures are used by companies to keep information discovery secret or at least confidential,
well,
to them. And I imagine they'd say they're doing that because they pay for it.
Yes, of course, that happens. The point is that there's been a shift, a progressive shift over two or three decades now from the public funding of fundamental science to more or less commercial funding, to funding that's driven by the need for profit. Now, as soon as you drive things by profit, then you're going to channel everything into the into places where it can make profit. So you begin to shut down areas of science that are not profitable and concentrate on the others. And then, as you say, there is an element of secrecy and so on and limitation. I mean, for example, the way the pharmaceutical activities go is very indicative of this, that we only do research on pharmaceuticals for medicines for rich countries and very, very little research on medicines for poorer countries, and this needs to be corrected.
Well, Professor Stiglitz, do you think he's got the economics of that right? Do you see that process of more market-driven research taking place?
Very much so. I mean, I think actually things are worse than he's described, because one of the things about the corporate research agenda is that it works through intellectual property, which reduces access to knowledge. Knowledge is the most important input into further research. And so while those in the corporate sector often talk about the importance of IPR, intellectual property, for promoting innovation and science, I actually think that it impedes it. And we lots of really concrete examples of that.
Well, let's just take that apart for a moment. You say that knowledge is the most important driver of future research. Some people might say that money is the most important driver of future research, or one of the most important, and that companies won't put the money in if they don't think they're going to be able to hang on to the intellectual property at the end of the process.
Well, that's exactly the point. You need more public funding. Nobody thinks that you can do research without resources. But one of the other points that pharma brings out very clearly is that much of the research is designed to get around patents rather than pushing the frontiers. It's not only that they aren't working on the most important problems facing the world, because one of the problems of being poor is that you don't have any money. Many of the most important diseases lie in developing countries and they just can't afford it. But it's not just that. It's that what money they do spend is directed a large fraction to figuring out how to get around existing patents.
Well, let me ask you this, Sir John Sulston. Looking at the state of your field, for example, would you say that we would have made the enormous advances that we have made without the impact of commercial funding, however that's done?
Absolutely. I mean, the important advances don't come from commercial funding. Commercial funding is about development of specific goals. But if you look back at the great discoveries of biology, they are all from public funding. The Americans have done a similar analysis. NIH has done an analysis showing that nearly every drug, which is on the face of it, invented, if you like, by a company, is in fact rooted in academic research paid for out of the public public
purse.
Well,
rooted in it, but not developed by it.
Well, development is a process that goes forward. But you asked me about the fundamental discoveries, and that's what I'm telling you. But furthermore, I mean, there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't pay for a great deal more of development out of the public purse. And if we did so, it would be a great deal cheaper. One of the points about the current system is it's very, very inefficient in terms of value for money.
But you've got to convince people that that's a valuable priority, Joseph Stiglitz, haven't you?
Well, yes, it is a valuable priority, but it should be obvious. I mean, for instance, what is the thing that's going out away from pharmaceuticals for a minute? What is the innovation that probably has transformed our life more? The internet. And who financed the development of the basic idea of the internet? Governments in the United States and in Europe.
Well, it wasn't the private sector.
We
must leave it there. Joseph Stiglitz, John Sulston, thank you both.
Our editors were Nikolai Genchev and Peter Hannington. Fee Glover is coming up in just a couple of minutes. Good morning.